really the first good king following Solomon, following Rehoboam and Abijah, or both which were bad kings. I was going to read a portion in chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places, and he broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and make walls around them, and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side." So they built and prospered. And look over in chapter 15, beginning with verse 2. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city. For God troubled them with every adversity." Let's pray. Lord, we, again, as we continue through your word, Lord, we look at King Asa in history. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would touch us. And by your Spirit, Lord, continue to transform us, Lord, into your image. Lord, you know how much we need you, and we look to you this morning. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I noticed something about King Asa that, you know, reoccurred through his account, was that the kingdom had rest. There was quiet. There was peace for the first 10 years. The Bible says in the passage in chapter 14, there was peace during his reign, the first 10 years. Quiet in the kingdom, mentioned twice. Rest, God-given, mentioned twice in chapter 14. We see, you know, it's implied, the scripture implies, that because Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God, that he was accompanied with peace and quiet and rest in his life in the kingdom, for the people, for the nation. A result of him doing what was right, peace came. Being a good king and doing what was right. We read in chapter 14 some of his reforms. He overthrows idolatry, doing what was right. He removes, and in Kings, the Bible tells us that he removes his mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Her mother, queen mother, removed her from position of authority, making things right. Verse 4, he, in chapter 14, verse 4, he enforced righteousness. He commanded the people to seek the Lord, the Bible tells us. And then in verse 7, chapter 14, he built, you know, walls, gates, fortified the cities, and prospered. He was constructive and he prospered under his reign, doing what was right, a good king. The Lord blessed. But as a result of him walking with the Lord, peace. His peace was tested as we continue to read the account of Asa. The next chapter, Ethiopians came against him. 1 million strong, 300 chariots, nearly 2 to 1 he was outnumbered. In trouble, in a spot of difficulty, the Bible tells us under pressure, under attack, he was the underdog. He was tested, his peace was tested. God given him and his kingdom peace, but now he's undergoing an insurmountable test here, outnumbered 2 to 1. But he passes the test. In verse 11, chapter 14, I'm sorry, he really, the scripture gives us the secret to success or victory and how Asa passed the test. Look at verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against us. Really, being faced with this trouble, attack, test of his peace. He cries out to the Lord, the Bible tells us. He believes in God's power and God's power to help, thus turns to him for help, seeking his help. He cries out, help us, Lord. It's nothing for you. You know, you got the power. Whether we were outnumbering them or whether they outnumber us, you know, you can move. You can help us. He trusted in his name. And in his name, he went out against them, the Bible tells us. The Bible says that he rested or relied upon the Lord. That word for rely or rest is sha'an. And it really means, you know, it's in a reliance or to lean upon. It's the same word used in Proverbs 3:5, where the Bible says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, to rely upon and not to lean upon your own understanding. He leaned upon God. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. The word really means that he trusted in, rested upon, leaned on the Lord, how he passed the test. The same word is used, with Samson, after Samson was blinded, put to the grinding mill, the Bible tells us, brought in the temple of Dagon to be mocked. He's standing there blind, everybody's laughing and mocking him. Samson said to a young lad, he said, lad, help me over to the pillars that I might lean upon them. Same word. And he went over this, you know the story where he went over and how he leaned upon. It wasn't rested. He put all his weight. He asked the Lord, Lord, you know, let me do one more thing for you. And he, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed out, the Bible says, leaning upon them pillars. Temple of Dagon, falling down upon the Philistine. The Bible says that more Philistines were killed by his death than by his life. Same word, leaning upon. Or, Lord, we rest upon, we rely upon you. Turning to the Lord, trusting in the Lord. The Bible says, as a result of Asa crying out to the Lord, that the Lord struck the Ethiopians, the end of chapter 14. And having defeated the Ethiopians, they carried away much spoil, the Bible says. They were enriched, much plunder. and sheep and cattle, herds, just totally enriched by this seeming attack. The Bible tells us in chapter 15, as he passes the test, you know, it talks about peace in the kingdom, and then the peace being tested as he passes the test. He's given a warning. A prophet comes to him, and he's warned really how to keep the peace. In chapter 15, interesting, following the great victory, he's enriched. He's got herds and camels and much spoil and plunder. He witnessed and was involved in a great victory. The timing of this warning, you know, maybe to ward off pride, that pride wouldn't creep in. A prophet comes to him and, you know, really warns him to stay with God in verse 2, chapter 15. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa and Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." How to keep the peace? Stay with God. You know, if you turn from him, you'll lose him. You'll lose God. You'll lose the privileges and the benefits of God. Turn your back on him, he'll turn from you. Asa, make sure, you know, be careful. He's warning him right following that victory. You know, stay with him. Continue to seek him. Don't turn from him. Then he gives as a warning past. The past negatives or history in the past. In verse 3, chapter 15, you know, kind of calling to mind or remember, for a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. Go back. Think. Remember how it was in the kingdom, in the nation? When the word wasn't in your life, you know, you weren't hearing it. It wasn't a part of your life. And the negatives or the how your life was without the word. He goes on in verse 5. In those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor the one who came in. But great turmoil was on the inhabitants of the lands. Back in them days, if you think back, there's no peace in your heart, in your life, in your mind. He's warning him how to keep the peace. And you'll lose the peace if you turn from God. Yes, there's peace in your kingdom. Yes, you've just wrought a great victory. But you'll lose it if you turn from God. Seek him. As he warns him to look at the past, to be reminded of the negatives of the past. In verse 6, chapter 15, and in them days the nation was destroyed by nation, city by city. God troubled them with every adversity. You know, there was no peace, there was trouble, adversity, turmoil, you know, without God. Think back. Take heed as he warns Asa, you know, to, you know, stay with the Lord. Continue to walk with him. And Asa heeds the warning, the Bible tells us. You know, he heard the words, the Bible says, and took courage. The Bible says that in the 15th year of his reign, he offered sacrifices. He makes a covenant, you know, seeks the Lord. In verse 13, as a result, how he responds to this warning, he tells the people, whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. He really takes heed, enforcing righteousness. Verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and saw him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. How to keep the peace. Heed the warning. Stay with God. The Bible tells us that he made a covenant. He offered sacrifices. He enforced righteousness, and the people rejoiced And a result, in verse 19, there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. First 10 years, there's peace. Then God conducts the tests with him. He passes the tests. He heeds the warning of the prophet and stays with God. And for the first 35 years of his life, peace. How to keep the peace. The Bible tells us, you know, that's a good story, isn't it? How he maintained, he was a good king, right in the sight of God, did things right, enforced rights, pulled down idolatry, made things right in his life with others, in his circulation. And yet, it doesn't end there. Chapter 16 tells us, you know, how he lost his peace. Faced with another test, similar to the one he had with the Ethiopians. This time, Israel, King Baasha, king of Israel, rises up against him. What he does, instead of relying on the Lord, leaning on the Lord, he turns to King of Syria, Ben-Hadad, the Bible tells us. He takes some treasury out of the temple and he pays Ben-Hadad, "Can you take care of this problem for me?" You know, hires him like a mercenary, you know. And Ben-Hadad, sure. So he went into Israel and starts attacking Israel, those that came against Asa. The Bible tells us that he faced this and he chose another direction. And he's rebuked by a prophet. In verse 7, chapter 16. "And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand.'" Same word, relied, leaned upon, with the weight of his faith. He didn't rely upon the Lord this time. He turned to other sources, another resource. Thus, he gets rebuked by the prophet. In verse 9, how he lost his peace. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." His life really is about, you know, peace and how to maintain peace and how he lost peace. And the remainder of his life, faction and wars. He was a good king. Yeah, he made a big mistake here. Lost his peace. The Bible says in verse 9 that God wants to show himself strong on behalf of those who have a loyal heart. It's God's intent and purpose as he looks to and fro over the earth. He's looking for a vessel with a loyal heart to prove himself, to show himself strong, to prove his will, to prove his existence. So it says in Romans 12, you know, that his will, that we could prove his will if we turn to him, having our minds renewed according to his word, giving our life as living sacrifices. Here, God's plan to show himself strong on, his intent. Asa made a mistake, lost his peace. The Bible tells us at the end of Asa's life here, the remainder of his life, he became angry with the prophet. "Hey, prophet, you," coming against him, telling them truth. He's in the wrong spot, imprisons him. The Bible tells us he gets a disease in his feet. And he seeks the physicians, and he doesn't seek the Lord, the Bible tells us, as he continues not to rely upon the Lord. Peace. You know, how to keep peace. Really, you know, for us, it speaks to us about maintaining peace, or how to keep God's peace. You know, it's peace is something we all desire and require. You know, we've seen in the scripture the Hebrew benediction or the Hebrew greeting, shalom, peace, peace to you. The meaningfulness of peace. Man, do I want peace in my life. You know, how peace, you know, you can't put a price on peace. Peace of mind, peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with your relatives, peace with your family, peace with your coworkers. You know, how to find peace and keep peace. The Bible tells us, you know, Paul to the Thessalonians gives them a blessing. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way, that the Lord be with you all. As a blessing, God's peace upon our life, God giving us peace. When the angel Gabriel came and was sharing about John's ministry, and then, you know, crossed over into talking about Jesus, he said that he will guide your feet in the way of peace. He came to bring peace to our life. The angels singing, praising God out in the fields to the shepherds, goodwill to men, peace on earth, as they praise God about the Savior's birth, that he came to bring peace, the Prince of Peace. We're prone in conflict to run from conflict or to escape. It's interesting, we in our marriage, you know, counseling questionnaire, we question or counsel young married couples, we'd say, no. In the case of conflict, are you more prone to fight or toward flight? Are you more prone to run from conflict? Or you want to hash it out? You see on the news lately, you know, it's good to fight. You know, fight it out, hash it out. It's healthy for a relationship, they say. You know, come to terms. Hash it out. It's interesting, David in the Psalms, one time when he was facing trouble in Psalm 55, he said, oh, if I had wings, I would fly away and be at rest. He desired, oh, man, I wish I could just fly away in the midst of trouble. You know, oh, I could just fly away, be at rest, man, I'll just escape the conflict. Yet, that's not what God's calling us to do, nor is it how we keep or maintain his peace. It's not by fleeing or escaping the conflict. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jason, covering John 14 on Friday night, he went over, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. As he, at the night of his arrest, you know, trying to comfort his disciples, because he knew he was going to get arrested, be taking away. He says, I'm going to go away. Where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you know, but if I go, I'll come again to receive you to myself. The purpose of him leaving, to come again, I go away to make, build a mansion for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, he says. Into that chapter, as he continues to comfort them, in verse 26, chapter 14, the Gospel of John, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He associates the peace that he gives and leaves with us directly with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's coming to help. Notice when Asa got in his jam, what did he do? He leaned upon the Lord. And as he leaned upon the Lord, he said, help us. Jesus, as he's trying to comfort his disciples, said, you know, the Helper, the one who helps us, will bring peace. A different kind of peace. Peace that we can't find anywhere else. And it's, you know, peace that doesn't come from escaping a conflict or a trouble or a turmoil and or adversity. Look in, since we're in the Gospel of John, look over in chapter 16, verse 33. As Jesus continues to converse with his disciples, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Not to escape the trouble, the conflict, the war, the battle. Not to turn to someone else to deal with the problem. Ben-Hadad, someone in the world, another source. But he said, in me you will have peace. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, our Helper, to turn to Him for help. He's our comfort. He's the giver of peace, the Bible tells us. May we heed the warning, as Asa did in the midst of his life. He had heeded the warning and keep his peace, to lean upon Him. Let's stand. Peace. The Bible tells us that Jesus told us that the Helper, when He comes, He will bring peace. And He's our source of help and peace. The Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. You can't beat having peace with Him. And He offers it for the asking. Let's turn to Him. Let's heed the warning. Lord, we look to You and we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We ask, Lord, that we wouldn't miss what You have for us, the fruit of the Spirit. And Lord, that You would fill us with Your Spirit, that You would fill us with Your peace. Lord, that we would pass the tests that we face and are confronted with, not by running from them, Lord, but by turning to You and leaning upon You, leaning not on our own understanding, but leaning on You, Lord, with all the weight of our faith, we turn to You. Lord, we desire peace to be a characteristic trait of our life, all the days of our life. And we ask, Lord, that You pour out Your Spirit upon us, and that we do heed the examples in the Scripture, Lord, that we learn the lessons the easy way, and that we continue to rely upon You. In Jesus' name, amen. His peace. May the Lord cover you with His hand and fill you with His Spirit and give you peace through any conflict, that we may maintain peace, not only in time, the good times, but when the conflict or the adversity comes, may we maintain His peace. In Jesus' name, amen.